Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts Sunday morning 9 to 10 WBT. What up, Trent?
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Trent.
We rolling through August. July. It's only July.
I think you talked about it last week. Like, where did summer go? It was here.
And if you didn't know, we have a heating and cooling business, Roby Services, Roby Heating and Cooling.
Yeah.
And we were real concerned because June was so chilly. Nobody was giving us any business, but I think it's heated up.
It's heated up. Yeah. No, that's right.
So if you're sweating, give us a call. 704-334-6447.
Man, he still got it. He said it real fast, so like you weren't really sure.
I thought that
could have
been
there.
Our old fax number.
That's
332-6351 is that number.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All right. I think fax machines are pretty much gone now.
You ever hear the story about me throwing the fax machine off the balcony?
Yeah.
I did that one time. I'm a little frustrated.
Well, the fax machine, I think they had that in a movie too, right? When they call it Office Space, so they beat up a fax machine.
I think our office could be Office Space sometime. Reagan actually, Steve Carell is Office.
Yeah.
Reagan, I was on the phone with Reagan the other day and I walked to the office and talking to our wonderful ladies that work up in the front of the office. And she was on the phone, and she said, "Oh my gosh!" She said, "I can just see Steve Carell walking."
They're calling you
right
Steve
now.
Carell.
That's my wife was. So oh. I think she think, and she told me one time she thought he was a good-looking man.
he is the boss man.
Pretty excited about
that. That show's
like,
good.
Does Steve Carell make you laugh and feel good? She's like, "Yeah." So made me feel good. I said, "Baby, you couldn't have given me a better compliment on this Wednesday."
There you go.
So anyway,
you gotta take them when you can get them.
I take anything you give me. What are you giving me?
What am I giving you? I'll give you quarters.
You give me some quarters?
I gave you a whole bunch of quarters two or three weeks ago. You took a bunch of my quarters.
I did?
You did.
I like quarters.
You did.
I roll quarters.
They were in the form.
My kids have started rolling quarters, something me and Dad used to do. We'd roll quarters, dime, nickels, and pennies, and then he'd give them to my sister.
Bob was in the form of a Venmo transfer.
We call those dollars.
Four quarters makes a dollar.
We call that El Papel. but yeah, my dad used to always tell me, say, help me roll these coins. And
we'd
30 minutes on the living room floor. And then he said, "You're not getting any of this. This is going to Taylor." I'm like, "Dude, that's messed up." I think he gave her a couple $1,000 in coins because she really needed it. Yeah. I think he just did it to rub salt in the wound.
Hold up. So you rolled it, and then he gave it to Taylor. And
we
Taylor,
rolled it. It was a bonding thing.
I got
taught
it.
Me how to handle my
you
change.
You thought you were going to get a couple packs
One
of
One time
tops.
When I was a kid, me and my buddy Scotty Too Hottie Westside, we had some pennies, and we went out on the deck, and I think we got about three or four pennies into the river. We were throwing pennies into the river off the deck, and he came outside, and I got a spanking.
I don't think that's something Papa Ron would have enjoyed. Yeah, you don't get that.
He said, "Son, you know how hard them pennies are to come
by? That's it. I'm surprised he didn't hand you a snorkel and a pair of goggles."
And I said that. Our guest today, Alex Bryant, who we're not going to let talk to the second segment, this guy is a character.
Yeah.
He looked at me because I know he would resonate with that story. He said, "Whoa, man, throwing away pennies. That's..."
Chase the pennies, they turn into dollars, right? That's the old saying.
I pick up a penny, unless it looks like it's got some real nasty goo on it, I'll pick it up.
You don't put a little goo gone on that thing, wash it off, and off you go?
I mean, man, if I'm walking in the Lowe's parking lot,
the reality of what you're saying is crazy because, I mean, I would bet you in 5 or 10 years, we don't even have coins anymore. We're almost to that point now. Remember the coin shortage?
I've actually been with peers in my last 40 years, I'm 45, so probably didn't happen, probably 30 years, that, I mean, like, literally would pull pennies, dimes, and nickels out of their pocket and throw it on the ground. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "I don't need this." I'm like, and needless to say, these folks are still poor. I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, why would, I don't understand. You know, I look at that, in lies the opportunity.
So you go, you just walk behind them all day.
Yeah, they would do it, and then they started doing it because they thought it was funny because I'm scrambling for coins.
That's messed up, man. It's like, watch this. We're going to throw this over by that mean dog. Turtle, go get it.
I got some coins in my closet.
No, I remember that. We used to have the big 5-gallon jug in the corner of the hallway, and you throw a penny, a few dollars. Man, I think we probably got a couple $100 out of that joker.
You know, I kind of collect junk silver, and there's a period of time, coins, quarters, and dimes, and half dollars and dollar coins in the early 1900s and 1800s were made out of 90% silver.
Yeah.
And they call it junk silver because it's not worth a dollar. It's worth what the melt value is of silver. So about 15, 20 years ago, I discovered this, and so I started going to laundromats, and I would put $10 in and get $10 worth of quarters and take them home, and you can look at the edge of the coin and see if it's made of full silver.
You did that?
I did this for like months.
No way.
And my dad used to give me a hard time. He thought it was cool I'd be on the living room floor. I could take all my new quarters over to his house and look through them. I asked him if I could source my sister's money that he gave her. And he kept saying, man, that's washed up. That's old hat. Everybody's already done that.
That scrap silver, we know somebody that made a pretty good lick on some scrap silver nobody wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Silver remnants.
Silver, you know, remnants.
I don't know. So anyway, when I was at the beach a month or two ago, I go to the flea market. I had a couple extra dollars, and I found the coin. Make my market. Kids go with me. I find the coin dealer. He was 17. Been doing it since he was 10, collecting coins since he was 10. Had a little shop at the flea market.
That's cool.
Surfside Beach, and hung out with him like 4 different days. Bought some coins off of him. So, you know, it's the little things in life of being a hard asset entrepreneur. So we're taking a picture. Alex is taking a picture of us. My hair's messed
up. Thank you, Alex.
I hadn't started taking my Propecia yet, but it's on the agenda.
You got a couple
actually.
Friends.
I'll talk about that in the last segment. So if you want to hear about my Propecia story, stay till the last segment. You're listening to At Home with Roby. We got Alex Bryant when we return, and Patrick's still in the house.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
I didn't never know you could get so stiff, that little
snare drum.
March.
Yeah.
I mean, I think TJ's taking us back to the Civil War period. He's talking about these old
coins.
Silver dollars.
The gold rush.
Go. David Baird sent me a link yesterday about somebody that discovered a bag of Civil War coins, gold and silver, buried on their farm. He said, now I have something new to look for. It just so happens we're talking about old silver coins. And Alex, you chimed in during the break and said your granddaddy was in the silver coin.
Yeah, absolutely. So my granddaddy, Depression era, grew up at it, didn't trust
That's
money,
awesome.
Didn't trust banks, didn't at the time, you know, but loved silver, peddled in a little bit of gold. That's back when you could buy it pretty cheap, you know.
Yeah.
But now you see inflation coming up. Silver's definitely moving in the right direction too, you know.
You know, I like it because you can touch it.
Yeah.
You feel the consistency of it. And how many hands have touched it over these hundreds of years and all that stuff? I just think it's neat. It tells a story.
For sure. For sure.
So where are you from?
So originally from Richmond County, Ellerbe, North Carolina, agricultural town. Kind of in the Piedmont area. I always tell everybody over here it's half the way to the beach.
I was going to say, Wilmington, yeah. You
know, going through Rockingham, where a lot of people see Richmond County, but
yeah,
you know,
Rockingham.
It's grown in the past few years.
And this is where your granddad was.
Yeah, Ellerbe, North Carolina.
Ellerbe, North Carolina.
Yeah, get that right now.
Ellerbe.
I mean, I think it's cool. We met through a fellow from Gastonia, Julian Roush, and he won a. We donated a Diamond Creek golf trip to the InReach charity tournament.
Yeah.
We've had InReach on here.
Yeah.
We're big fans.
Yeah.
And he won the bid, Actually, somebody else won the bid, and I said, hey, if you match their bid, donate it in reach, I'll take you. And you were his guest, one of his two guests. And we hung out for about 36 hours and had a blast.
We had a good time.
And hit it off. And you were hustling. We rode in the car together there, hung out, played golf, had dinner, got up the next day, ate breakfast, rode in the car together back. And you have a business that is, I think, your primary business now. I think you're in a – got your hands and stuff. You like to hustle. International Fruit Company.
That's right.
And you were on the phone – slinging this product, talking to all your customers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was so intriguing. I was like, man, this guy, we have a lot in common. And then we have the silver thing in common.
Absolutely, man. I've actually got people wanting blueberries right now.
Well, hold on. We need to take a break.
No,
I get excited to hear about this kind of stuff. You got to go, yeah, sell the blueberries.
Yeah, no, we're good.
So you grew up in Ellerby.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did your family do?
Grew up in Ellerby, agricultural town. My dad, granddad were both in poultry
at the time.
So yeah. I grew up working in the summers, you know, picking up dead chickens feeding chickens and working at the farm. And that went a long way with us. You know, we're not scared of hard work. So
no, I just got by. We talk about that a lot here. We have some experience. I mean, personally, but in-laws. My in-laws are farmers in Indiana, and then Trent. Your wife, grandparents grew up in Illinois, farmers.
Yeah,
and
so we just were up there.
That, I mean, I was too. I mean,
looking
that,
for
that way of life is, I mean, if you're afraid of hard work, that's not the place for
that's
you.
That's right. And we progressed into swine in the mid-90s, my family did. And then over the last 6 or 7 years, I've kind of moved more toward the management of those swine farms, and we grow for Smithfields.
And your dad and your brother.
Dad and brother are in it too.
Yep, still there.
Still there, yep.
Yep. And
Dad's been battling some health issues, but that's where we've kind of stepped in. But he still likes to get in the middle of it. He'll come help us bale hay and ride
a
tractor.
I thought it was cool. You were talking about your dad, and you know I'm very fond of my dad. We talk about Papa Ron on the radio a lot. God rest his soul. But it's cool to see somebody that's fond of their dad. Their dad's still in the game.
Yep. I know he's feeling good. He's been battling some cancer and things like that, but I know he's feeling good when he's out there getting on to us. You know?
When he's out there working.
when he's working telling us what we're doing wrong, you know?
You're like, it's just like, you know, probably the older you get, the more you're like, okay, I'm going to let this one slide off my back.
Absolutely.
As a kid, we used to hate that, right? Don't tell me what to do. But
I never had that problem. I like to take orders. I mean, you heard what brought us into this segment.
The march.
I mean, really? Goodness gracious, TJ. I think he just cut the volume down because I got so excited.
I thought we were going into a 4th of July show. I was like, what
sorry
month
if I just blew
this?
Your left eardrum, Mr. Listener. Mr. Listener.
TJ's
So, now you live in Gaston County.
Yep, live in Cramerton, Cramer Mountain.
Cramer Mountain, in the club.
In the club, yep. And great place.
Are you are involved in the politics of the club?
I wouldn't call them politics, but I'm on the board there. Came there last year, and it's been interesting. I didn't grow up in country clubs, if you can't tell, but it's been an experience for sure. But it's a great place to live, great place to play.
It is neat. And we picked you up at your house the first when we met, and you live in there. We met parts of vehicles at the clubhouse,
right?
Which they've redone. Y'all have all been a part of that. It's very successful.
Yes,
really cool.
Come a long way.
And when I was a kid, we built a house in Cramer Mountain Country Club. My dad did like 84, 85. So I always thought it was a really cool place, very sentimental to me. What brought you to Gaston County?
My wife, preferably. That's the main
thing. She from Gaston County?
She's from Lincolnton, actually. We both went to UNC Charlotte. I played baseball there. She was a cheerleader. So
nice.
That's where we met. Then we kind of, you know, split ways. 2009, I graduated from Charlotte. And went back home because that was the middle of the recession. And there wasn't a job. I had an international business degree.
International business
and couldn't get a phone call. So
that's crazy.
It was an interesting time for me. You know.
And so what you play baseball at UNCC?
I played baseball at UNCC.
What position did you play?
I got recruited as a shortstop, played some there as my freshman year. Then moved to third base, first base, but played behind an All-American local guy, Aaron Bray. He's from here. Yeah, one of my good friends. But he was All-American, and I mean, just stellar. And I knew my place. You know, I wanted to win, and he was our best shot at winning. So I didn't.
So he played shortstop.
He played third base. Yeah,
he played third base.
Yep. So I played behind him mainly.
He told a story about busting you and getting hit with the line drive.
Yeah, freshman year, shattered orbit and all that. I mean,
wow,
it's a fast game at that level.
Well, you're talking about metal bats in college baseball. I mean, you're right. I had a friend coming up. I think an inch one way or the other, he might not be here with us still. Yeah. It's very dangerous.
The transition from high school to college is, especially Division One.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, third base is a hot corner, too.
You played some of that, right?
I did. I played Legion ball. I played third base. And I've only tried to dip one time in my whole life. And I was a sophomore,
and
seniors on my Legion baseball team would chew and dip. And I was like, I'll try this. And I took a little piece, and I went out there to third base, and if a ball would have been hit at me, it would have killed me. So I'm not saying I'm a perfect guy, but I've never done that again.
I've done enough for you. Don't worry.
I was going to say, you swallow that. You're not used to it.
You country boy from Ellerby. Yeah. And I'm glad I don't have to play third base anymore because I used to be scared when I was over there. But I didn't show it. Yeah. I just hung in there.
Just take a few steps back. You'll be all right.
Well, when we played softball.
Yeah.
Our company got a softball team last year. And, I got to play shortstop. You know, I'm the only one dumb enough to play shortstop. And I'm out there at shortstop. These guys are jacking the ball. And it's a dirt infield.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to get killed or get injured.
You're going to get hurt.
I'm
going to
get hit in the head.
Take one of these to the jugular. That ain't going to feel good.
This is the stupidest thing ever.
You see the pitchers wearing the mask. Yeah. You know, it's catcher's mask.
They too. And the shortstop doesn't.
Well, you see it.
So you played baseball. I think that's really cool. We got that in common, too. You played baseball at UNC Charlotte. That's a big feat. Playing college, Division I college baseball, any athletics is very strong.
Yeah, that was my goal. That was my goal. I knew we went and watched the Indians one time, had a local guy that invited us up. He was in the big leagues, and he let us watch him coming out of the hotel. And at that moment in high school, I knew I wouldn't be a major league player, so my goal was to be a good college
player. You wanted
to be a
college player.
These guys were just huge, you know. Oh, I mean, I didn't look like them. Let's say that.
Well, I tell the joke. I played with Chad Durham. Ray Durham played a lot of years for the White Sox, very successful. Charlotte went to Harding. And I played with Chad. He was short. I was third. And I was working out all the time thinking I was going to go be a professional baseball player. I mean, if you see me, I'm about $1.60 wet. And I got in a truck after the game. I realized the scouts were there, and they weren't looking at me. They didn't care if I was hitting 500, 520 or whatever. And I get in a truck. I look at my dad. I'm like, what'd you do to me? And he said, son, what are you talking about? And I said, this. I realized I wasn't fit to be a big league baseball player.
He started
laughing. He said, son, he said, I figured you have to see it on your own, but you're going to have to work hard in life, study hard, work hard. Made out for these sports. So, anyway. You played Division I baseball, so that's good. Will you stick around for a few minutes?
Absolutely, I'll be here.
And international business, International Fruit Company, I put two and two together. Alex Bryant, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm with Trent Haston for the Roby Family of Companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, go back. You can listen to our podcast, or you can go back and listen to them any social media.
I want to reiterate how cool the show is.
And
reiterate that I say this on the show all the time. I got a text the other day, a buddy, an old buddy of mine, entrepreneur, John Maltsby, in the real estate business, old high school friend, and we still see each other a fair amount, and our kids are friends, our wives are friends, sent me a text Sunday and said, hey, I listened to the Jeremy Fulkerson podcast. It was a couple weeks ago. Great.
Yeah, South Park Baseball.
And I hadn't listened to it. I don't really listen to the show. I said, cool. He said, man, that was great information. John's a baseball coach, very involved in his kids' sports. So I was paying bills or doing some receipt filing or something Sunday. So I played it and listened to it, and I was laughing at ourselves. But I say that because the beauty of being able to do this show is I meet Alex, we hang out, he's doing his thing, I'm intrigued, I want to get to know him better, I want to flatter him, build our friendship, vice versa, ask him to come on the show. Of course, you came, you got the personality. And this guy's story, we hadn't even got into it, and it's crazy.
Well, you did kind of link it all together with the baseball, because we're talking about Alex being a Division One college baseball player at UNCC, major in international business. And I think where we're going is now he has a business called International Fruit.
So he told me, and I'm a little foggy, how you got into the fruit business. 2009, you graduate international business degree from UNC Charlotte, and you move back home because there wasn't any work in 2009. It was destitute in Charlotte. And you go back to Ellerbe.
Go back to Ellerbe, working at just odd and end jobs around the farm, family stuff.
Yeah.
I get a call from my cousin, who's a teacher at Pinecrest High School in Pinehurst. And she says, you've got a minor in Spanish, because with an international business degree, you had to have a language,
sense.
You know?
Sure.
And I said, yeah, well, how many hours do you have? And I told her, she said, our Spanish teacher just walked out of the classroom. Can you come fill in? This is like October, right?
Si bueno.
Yeah, absolutamente, you know?
Yo juego al deporte.
I'm like, I need money. You've got a job. I'll do it.
So they said, let's go.
Yeah, so went in lateral entry. You know, I actually enjoyed the teaching side of it,
cool,
but around February, I told him I'd finish out the semester. I knew it wasn't a long-term plan, but around February, I got a call from a local winery, and they said, hey, we've been making wine for about 2 years. Can you come in and help us sell our wine for us? So I sold the first bottle there. That was in Mount Gilead, called Little River Winery, and that was 2010, I guess, and was there 2 or 3 years, and then 2012, Chiquita moved to town, the banana company, from Ohio. Charlotte threw a bunch of money at them.
Convention Center, the whole deal.
NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I was one of the hires there. So that got me in the produce business.
So you went to work for Chiquita.
I went to work for Chiquita, and I never touched a banana other than what they gave us during the week. You know, they gave us free allocations of bananas.
Didn't sell
bananas, didn't source bananas, did nothing with bananas. I was in a totally different division.
But
I didn't even know existed at the time.
But it was the East Bananas. That's awesome.
So that division was called the deciduous. Well, if you don't know deciduous, that's trees that lose their leaves in the fall. Okay, so you learned something today.
Okay.
I learned a lot,
So
buddy.
We're talking grapes, blueberries, citrus, peaches, plums, nectarines, which are lumped in stone fruit. And I was basically number three there. So I had a big boss, my main boss, and then it was me. And 6 months in, our big boss comes to my boss and I at the time and says, hey, we're shutting this whole division down.
The deciduous division.
The deciduous division.
No more trees.
$160 million division. We're shutting it down. I want a bow on it wrapped up with a bow in 3 months. So I collected a bunch of money for the company. We shut it all down. Well, about 1 month into it, we went to our big boss and said, hey, instead of shutting this division down, why don't you give it to us to operate under the Chiquita label? Well, we rented up the flagpole, they took it to the top, and at that time, it was just a crazy time at Chiquita.
Yeah.
They were struggling pretty bad. So they gave it to us. They gave us a licensing agreement. We had to pay them so much per box to use the Chiquita logo. And we did that for about 2 years, started International Fruit Company with that. Had an office in the Hall of Fame building. And you know how it is with a new business, right? It's hard to get started.
Sure.
But that right there, the label, the office, the whole deal gave us kind of a little step
firepower. It gave you some street cred.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that was the start. A year later, I ended up merging with a California grape grower, probably one of the top three grape growers in California, and that gave us the financial backing because I didn't have any money. You know, I mean, a new business getting credit in 2011 is non-existent, he provided the financial power, a lot of the retail contacts, and now, plus 9 years, we represent growers up and down the East Coast. So I do a 12-month blueberry program all the way from Georgia, North Carolina, New Jersey. We're actually finishing up New Jersey right now. Canada's about to start, and then Peru, we're going to transition into the import side.
So when you say 12-month program, explain that a little
bit. I can bring blueberries to retailers, wholesalers, all these customers 12 months a year.
Just from your different growers. Okay, that makes sense.
12 months a year.
Globally sourced.
Yep. Wow, because you're sourcing it from all parts of the world.
Yeah. We can do that for blueberries, grapes, citrus right now, just within.
Because growing up as a kid, you thought, I go to Balahu with my parents, I thought fruit was seasonal.
Yeah, when watermelons are, when it's not, July and August, you don't get watermelons. That's not the case anymore.
We redid the parking shop grocery store on Wilkinson, and during watermelon season, they'd get truckloads of watermelons.
Yeah, talking about how it got on the show.
Yeah. The problem is now there's an expectation for that. So right now it's rained in Chile over the last 2 weeks, so lemons and citrus are going to be short in the next few months, and sometimes buyers don't understand that, you know. So,
well, so like who now? Who are you selling to?
So I sell to retailers.
Okay, so like grocery stores,
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, Walmart's, your Aldi's.
Got it.
Nationally, you know, a lot of smaller independent chains, a lot of wholesale, a lot of food service.
Yeah.
So just there's nobody understands where your fruit comes from. So
you just expect it there. No, I think you're right. Your expectations are dead on.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, we load grapes and blueberries in Peru. They get packed. Picked, packed in 3 days, and then they ship to the port. That takes another day or two. Then they're loaded on a boat, which is another 4 days. And then it's a 18 to 20-day trip through the Panama Canal all the way here, you know. And when you open that container and you look at the fruit, 99.9% of the time, it looks like it just got picked yesterday.
That's crazy.
25 days after getting harvested.
Yeah, how's that?
Technology, refrigeration chain, the whole supply chain, the way it is now. Also, you know, Brian Ferris, you had on – now, yep. That's on your show.
Three
a lot. He talks about the old world varieties of wine, you know, your Italians and your French and all that. The thing with the new world is they're better growing conditions. So less humidity, you know, you don't have to spray. Like Chile and Peru are just premier growing regions. California, too. You know, up until this year, California's been great, but the weather's kind of broke the last 6 months or so with rain and things like that. But rain's horrible for fruit. So
are you traveling to Chile and Peru? I mean, visiting these?
No, I used to travel a lot, yeah. but don't need to. My partner's Chilean, so he does a lot of that. Yep. But I try not to travel, man. You know, when I was with Chiquita, we traveled a lot, and obviously COVID shut that down, and just a lot of costs that, you know, this is all relationship business, so I travel when I have to. We do trade shows and things like that, but I talk to my customers 2 times a day sometimes, you know, so... Well, that's when you saw me. You
I vouched for that.
You know, it's a customer service business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm
in a sticky spot because my job with a grower is I have to get him the best price possible. My job with my customer, he wants the cheapest price possible.
I got to get him the best price possible.
So I'm in a sticky situation, but, you know, we communicate a lot. We have good service, so on both sides.
Yeah.
And if you like problems, come to the produce business. You know,
so you've been doing this 12 years now.
Yeah, since 2012. So what's that? Yeah, 12 years.
Yeah,
almost 12.
23, halfway through 23. Is that not a cool story?
No, it's unbelievable. I like you're saying there. If you like problems, come to the produce business. But I mean, that's what we do, right? We're problem solvers. I mean, it's the same thing as in the construction industry.
That's it.
Is that there's going to be things that are going to happen. It's how we react to them.
Yeah, and you guys are in service business too.
Absolutely.
You know?
100%.
If my customer says, "Hey, take your blueberries and paint them pink," I'm going to go find somebody to paint.
All right,
you know,
I'm going to go drop them some pink paint.
It better be edible paint.
As long as you're paying for it, I'll do whatever you want.
Get that Owens Corning Panther over here. Let's get going.
Gracious,
yeah, that's awesome, man.
So, are you deciduous? Is that still your cup of tea?
Yeah, still do that. I mean, if a customer asks, "Hey, can you get me vegetables and things like that?" Of course,
through your relationships,
I do that. So, you know, produce business is big on buying power and relationships and all that. So, once you establish that, you know, I can pick up the phone and call people.
Does your family get free bananas?
Man, it is cheaper for me to go buy them in Harris Teeter or Aldi or somewhere like that than it is to ship a box out of New Jersey. And I don't even do bananas. I told you that.
it was a joke.
Blueberries,
I'm weird.
That was the best deal at Chiquita's. Every Tuesday, they would deliver the prettiest bananas you've ever seen to each floor.
That's awesome.
Man, this is.
And I might have taken more than my allocation. So.
Well, Alex, I mean, we don't have, we're not talking about the cornhole tournament Make-A-Wish yet. We usually do that in the last segment leading up to our cornhole tournament. Will you stick around?
Absolutely.
Alex Bryant, International Fruit Company, will we return telling good old stories on the At Home with Roby show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Man, if you want to learn about the fruit business, I had no idea.
Check it out. We're on all social medias. Go back, check out the first couple segments.
Unbelievable.
But what, I mean,
if you want to get educated today, I mean, wow.
I would like to say we had Walker Collier check his show out, came on the radio, Trinity Capital Partners.
That's right.
I think about a year and a half ago. I'm sure you can find the show. Walker Collier, and the first real estate deal he did coming out of the recession was the NASCAR building and getting Chiquita in there, and they didn't stay that long.
That's right.
And he talked about how he didn't have anything to do either, and he was just trying to –
rub two pennies together and make a nickel, you know?
The best thing Chiquita did was, there was Publica Hill at the time when I was there. And then the Cotralli family, which is a billionaire in Brazil. They're the biggest owner of Orange Grove, so they're in the juice business, orange juice business. They actually bought the stockholders of Chiquita out. So that was the best thing for Chiquita. They've turned it around. It's, you know, kind of settled everything down and got the capital
but
for it.
But Chiquita was a blessing for Charlotte.
Absolutely. Oh,
we had just built the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
There you go.
For you.
Yeah.
We had just built this building. It was not doing well. They came in and gave it a good brand.
That's right.
And it was short-lived, but it was enough to get the turn the warship around, you know? Just thinking back to 09 and 10 and 11 and 12, man.
Rough times.
It was rough times.
You know, they moved that headquarters to Florida, and everybody asked me, why is Chiquita at Charlotte? And it really made no sense other than it was a tax incentive for them and for the town, you know? But those companies need to be on Florida, near ports, you know, places like that, so...
Wow. Have you? I said this earlier. You were in the middle of a story. Have you ever been through the Panama Canal?
I have not.
I haven't either.
That would be a cool thing to do. Kind of a bucket list.
I want to do it. Go through the locks or what have you. It's such an asset to the United States, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, work globally too.
Yeah. It's crazy, and to Panama.
Yeah,
sure.
all of my growers export to Asia, and which doesn't use the canal, but Europe and, you know, Africa, those places. So. It's a huge asset for the world.
So do you? I bet you're able to relate and build a relationship with growers and other your growers because you're from the farming business.
Yeah, so yeah. I can relate. You know, we don't wear suit and ties. I walk in. My wife asked me the other day. She said, "You're going to see we actually work with some private equity guys." And I was going to meet with them, and my wife said, "Are you really going to wear jeans to meet with these guys?" I said, "Honey, if at least one of them doesn't have jeans on, I'm going to be worried because they represent growers. You know, we're farmers.
Yeah,
we don't need to dress up, be fancy. You know, I can remember back in my hometown, the biggest farmer there was. He drove an old beat up Chevrolet, and there's no telling how much money he had in the bank. You know,
we're in the construction business and home services business as well, and we used to have some advertisers back when I was first starting in 2010. They show up in a 3-piece suit. I mean, people would scatter left and right out of that building. I mean, it's like, what is going on here?
You got now I can wear a suit. You know, we can go corporate and we can do that, but you better know your crowd.
You better know your audience.
I don't wear suits too much anymore.
I don't really. I mean, funerals and weddings, that's about it.
Lately,
when I usher at church, that's about the only time I wear one.
Honestly, I dress down relative to how I grew up in church when I go to church now. I wore a collared shirt today, and I was asking Reagan this morning, I said, "Do you like this shirt or should I put on a t-shirt?" And she's like, "I always think that collared shirts look a little nicer than t-shirts. I mean, what are you asking me?" I'm like, "Well, I really don't want to wear it."
You want to wear a t-shirt.
So I wanted to wear a t-shirt, but we're going to Gaston Christian to meet with the fellow that runs the school. He's going to show us his new building he just built. Check it out.
Outstanding.
So I will not tuck my shirt in.
You fit right in.
And if he has his his shirt tucked in, I'm going to be worried.
You think so? I bet you he has his shirt tucked in.
I bet he does. He's a good guy.
Great guy.
Funny thing is, we had Luther Lockwood on the show a couple years ago. I had a meeting with him. He's helping us with some business planning and stuff. And he comes over to the office, and I got a button-down shirt on. It was wintertime. Button-down shirt, khaki slacks, and some dress shoes. And he's wearing blue jeans. And he says, "Man, I dressed down for you. You dressed up for me. We kind of missed the boat."
You should have called each other that way. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like sometimes playing golf at the beach because I can leave my shirt untucked for around the golf or wear a t-shirt or something. Especially on the par 3 courses.
Oh, yeah, par 3 courses. Y'all don't think you have to wear a shirt on one of those things, do you?
I have.
Yeah,
I did play
a
green
beautiful
cutoffs.
It's a beautiful thing. I'm not knocking it.
We have talked about that before.
Please don't take that the wrong way.
I have played several rounds of golf in my life in Gaston County at some municipal courses without a shirt.
Yeah.
At least for like 10 holes.
No shoes, no shirt. Roll
no
on.
Problems.
That's great. No problems.
Well, Alex, it's been so fun. It's how can people look you up? Give your business a plug. People are interested.
Yeah,
in this.
International Fruit Company. It's online and check us out. But if you got retailers that aren't carrying our products, blueberries, grapes, citrus, we actually carry the Sesame Street citrus line. So you'll see Elmo on the on the mandarins and Big Bird on the lemons. So it's pretty cool that we have. But ask your local guys, do you have any international fruit?
So if I go to the grocery store, Sesame Street fruit is your line?
Yep.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Just depends on if that retailer or that store has it. Blueberries right now have Elmo on them. So
patronize Alex.
I'm going to patronize him. Go to this grocery store, buy some deciduous fruit.
Yeah, there was a lot of out of Georgia. We just finished Georgia and North Carolina, so there's a lot of blueberries, that is. A lot of that went to Food Line, so it was
deciduous.
Yeah, you don't. That's just a big word throw around. It's a group.
You don't want to sound smart. No,
well, oak tree's deciduous, too, you know, so.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Listen, go do the golden rule today. We hope you had fun. Hope you laughed a little. Feel good. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Thank you for being here, Alex Bryant, at Home with Roby.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.